First, European Union officials will hold an emergency meeting Friday after Iran announced it will end at least some of its commitments under the 2015 nuclear deal. That comes as the world continues to react to the U.S. airstrike last week that killed top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani. As the Iraqi government appears to be on the verge of expelling U.S. troops from the country, the Trump administration has said that Soleimani was planning an imminent attack that could have killed Americans. Yesterday, with Margaret Brennan of CBS, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo declined to say whether or not there was still a risk of that kind of attack.
So Iran can still carry out that specific threat you described as imminent. Is it still imminent?
Margaret, we continue to prepare for whatever it is the Iranian regime may put in front of us within the next 10 minutes, within the next 10 days, and within the next 10 weeks. We are focused on delivering a strategy for the American people. We're going to get it right in a moment, but we're more importantly going to get it right over the days and weeks and months ahead.
Dalia Fahmy is an associate professor of political science at Long Island University in Brooklyn. Dalia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Have we heard more details about what the Trump administration has said was an imminent attack led by Soleimani?
No, unfortunately, we haven't. And that's part of the crisis that we're in right now, because what we saw over the weekend is the Iraqi parliament vote to work towards ending the presence of all foreign troops on Iraqi soil, which is the wording of their bill. The interesting thing about this bill is it's not a binding resolution. It's a non-binding resolution passed by the Iraqi parliament with support of much of the Shia clerics of Iraq. Now, the interesting thing, if we take a wider step back about what's been happening locally in Iraq over the past couple of weeks, is that there have been pro-democracy protests. Now, that, in its essence, has been suspended to deal with what's happening today, which is seen as an impingement on the sovereignty of Iraq because of the airstrike that killed Qasem Soleimani and others in Iraq. And so what's happening in Iraq today is counter to the interest of the democratic push, but also counter to U.S. interest.
Right. Some of those protests, those pro-democracy protests, in part, as I understand it, Dalia, were targeted at Iran's influence in Iraq. Do I have that right?
Yes. And so you had pro-democracy protests happening inside of Iraq, pro-democracy protests happening inside of Iran. And in both countries, those protests have been replaced with pro-regime alliances. We saw yesterday the streets of Iran, not just Tehran, but streets all over Iran flooded with mourners of Qasem Soleimani's death. And it's not so much that they were mourning the actual death as much as this is seen as Iranian people coming into the street to support their country. And so what you're seeing in Iraq and Iran today is pro-democracy protests replaced with high nationalist symbolic movements.
We've seen a letter apparently going out from the U.S. military to Iraqi military leaders that said the U.S. would be moving troops, getting them ready for a change of their deployment, possibly withdrawal. I think I was just seeing a statement that, no, that was a draft. That's not the real deal. What do we know about U.S. strategy and where our troops are in Iraq right now?
Yes, we did see this letter that was announcing the onward movement of U.S. troops, withdrawing and telling the Iraqi military that they would see increased air power as troops were withdrawn. And then just within the last half hour, we saw, this was a draft that should not have been released. But what we're seeing is the unfortunate result of the thinning of the national security team of President Trump. You're seeing the foreign policy in the Middle East, or U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, becoming increasingly unpredictable. And so when you have, for example, the president tweeting out twice that he would attack 52 historic sites in Iran if the Iranian regime were to do anything. Well, we know that this is against international law. It's also against the 1954 Hague Convention that protects historical sites. And so technically, the president has tweeted out twice in the past 2 days that he would commit war crimes. And yet the accusation is that Qasem Soleimani was a war criminal. And so when you have the United States no longer seen as a partner of stability or a beacon of stability in the region, rather the U.S. foreign policy towards the Middle East, especially in Iran and Iraq today and in Syria earlier, late last year, is becoming increasingly unpredictable. Now, when the president said yesterday, if the Iraqis want us to withdraw, if they actually follow through on their vote, well, then they have to pay for the air base in Baghdad. well, they did follow through on their vote. And then we saw this leaked or unofficial release of this document saying that, well, we're going to withdraw anyway. Now, we have to remember that the United States just withdrew from the air base in northern Syria. And right away, the Russian military took over that air base. And so what we're seeing is that the United States behavior becoming increasingly unclear is leading to much more instability in the region.
Talking to Dalia Fahmy from Long Island University in Brooklyn with the latest in the aftermath of the targeted killing of the Iranian general Soleimani. And what's happened just in the few days since, it seems like a lot longer somehow. Dalia, also we're seeing from NATO, our European allies, and the U.S., it sounds like anti-ISIS operations in Iraq are being dialed back now amidst all this?
Anti-ISIS operations are being dialed back because of the instability in the region. ISIS, anti-ISIS operations in northern Syria have been dialed back. We've even seen a call for diplomatic retraction from many NATO leader countries to remove their diplomatic corps from several areas in the Middle East, namely Iraq and Iran, and just because of the unpredictability. And so this targeted assassination of a military leader, whether he, you know, of course, we can all agree that he was conducting operations that killed thousands upon thousands of people, but this is seen as a military leader, second highest in command in Iran, being killed in another sovereign country is deemed as an act of war by many people in the region. And so when you see that the United States is creating this moment where Iran, which had been constrained in the past couple of years, is now seemingly stronger and able to leverage power more than it has been able to. Now, if you think about, for example, what happened when the U.S. Reneged on the Iran nuclear deal, technically, Iran was supposed to be compressed and controlled in its capacity for 15 years. And the argument of the Trump administration was, well, 15 years, and then they can become stronger again. What we're seeing is that Iran is in a stronger position today in capability and capacity and able to project power in the region more so than ever before. It is actually in Iran's interest that the U.S. withdraw troops from Iraq. It is actually in Iran's interest that the U.S. withdraw troops from northern Syria. And so as a consequence of unthought out of an unvisionary positioning of U.S. foreign policy, it's put Iran in an actual position where it's stronger and has greater entrenchment in the region. And with this latest vote of Iraqis the Iraqi parliament, who is seen as loyal to the United States, basically kicking us out through their vote, even though it's non-binding, you're seeing that the United States is no longer seen as welcome. Rather, it's seen as weakening the region as a whole. And so let's rid ourselves of them. This is not in the best interest of the United States. It's not in the best interest of our NATO allies, but it's also going to lead to a more unstable region and a stronger footprint for Iranian power.
Dalia, in our last 30 seconds or so, what are you watching for next?
We're watching to see if these troops, the 82nd Airborne that's been deployed, what does that mean? Because what we do know is that even though Iran's big picture capability is actually growing, and the United States might have to say we're withdrawing our military, in order for us to actually have an eye on the region, we actually might have to deploy more troops. And so the language of withdrawing troops from Iraq might have to be replaced with deploying more troops to the region at large.
Dalia, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Dalia Fahmy, Associate Professor of Political Science at Long Island University in Brooklyn. She joined us today to talk about the continued fallout from a U.S. airstrike last week, killing top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. The details are changing by the minute in some cases with statements from the U.S., Iran, Iraq, and other allies today. Keep on top of that at npr.org and tune into our news coming up in just a couple of minutes.